Good morning and welcome to Claude Daily, your morning briefing on everything Claude and Anthropic. I'm Alex, joined as always by Sam, and today is Thursday, April 16th, 2026. Sam, I will say, I looked at today's stack of stories and immediately wanted to go back to bed, not because it's boring, but because I realized how much ground we have to cover.
Huh. Yeah, same. And honestly, there's a thread running through almost everything today that I think is worth calling out up front. It's this idea of Claude doing more for you when you're not there. Like, that's the through line.
Exactly. Autonomous work, hands-off execution, agents that are actually useful in the field. And we've got a lot of concrete product stuff today that makes that feel real rather than just theoretical. So, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
So the headline story, and I think this is genuinely the most interesting thing we've got today, is Dispatch. Anthropic has rolled out this feature as part of what they're calling the Claude Cowork Suite, and the pitch is simple. You're away from your desk, you pull out your phone, you send Claude a message, and Claude goes and does the work on your actual desktop computer back home or back at the office.
And when you say does the work, you mean actually operates the computer.
Actually operates the computer. We're talking reading local files, searching the web, accessing email and cloud storage, compiling results. And in the full version of this with computer use enabled, Claude is literally controlling the mouse and keyboard to interact with desktop applications.
Okay, so let me make sure I understand the setup here because I think the architecture is interesting. You've got the Claude desktop app running on your computer. You leave, you go to a meeting, you're on the train, whatever. Your computer stays on and connected, and then through the Claude mobile app, you fire off instructions that get routed to that desktop machine.
That's exactly it. And it maintains a persistent conversation thread throughout. So all the previous instructions, all the files that have been processed, all of that context travels with the session. You can check in on progress remotely.
So it's not like you send a message and hope for the best. You can actually monitor what's happening.
Right. And there's an approval layer too, which I think is really important for trust. The example they give is Claude locates a file you need, drafts a message, and then waits for your approval before actually sending it through something like Slack or email.
That's smart. Because the thing I immediately think about when I hear Claude is controlling my computer is, okay, what if it does something I didn't want? Having that confirmation step for outbound communication especially is a pretty good safety valve.
It is, and the computer use piece, operating the mouse and keyboard directly, that's actually disabled by default. You have to turn it on. So the default mode is more constrained, and you opt in to the fuller autonomy.
I wonder how many people will actually turn that on versus just use the file and web access stuff.
Probably a spectrum. I think the locate a file and send me a summary use case is going to be the bread and butter for most people. But for power users who have workflows that require operating, say, a legacy desktop app that has no API, no web interface, that computer use capability is huge.
Yeah, exactly. There's so much enterprise software that is just stuck in the early 2000s UI-wise, and there's no way in programmatically. If Claude can just click through it the way a human would, that unlocks a whole class of automation that wasn't possible before.
And that actually connects really well to some of the use cases they're highlighting around Excel and financial workflows, which we'll get to in a bit. But the broader point about Dispatch is that this is Anthropic making a real bet on the agent as colleague model. Not just a chatbot, not even a sophisticated coding tool, but something that's handling real work on real systems while you're doing other things.
And the mobile-to-desktop handoff is clever because your phone is almost always with you, so the interface for dispatching work is always accessible. You don't need to find another computer to delegate to your computer.
Right. It's a very natural trigger point. You're in a meeting, someone asks you a question about a document, you pull out your phone, you say, Claude, find that Q3 analysis and pull the margin figures, and by the time the meeting's over, it's done.
That's a workflow I would use immediately.
Honestly, yeah. Okay, so let's pivot to something that underpins all of this. Because Dispatch is a product feature, but there's a deeper architectural story here about how Anthropic is thinking about building agents that can actually do specialized work. So Anthropic published this on their engineering blog, Agent Skills, and this was actually introduced back in December 2025, but they're really pushing it now as an open standard. The idea is, instead of trying to make one AI that knows everything about everything, you give agents the ability to dynamically load specialized capabilities for specific tasks.
So it's modular, like how your phone downloads an app rather than having every app pre-installed.
That's a great analogy. Each skill is essentially a folder. They call it a directory, anchored by a file called skill.md. And inside that, you've got instructions, scripts, resources, whatever that particular skill needs. And the agent loads it up when a relevant task comes in.
So a financial analysis skill would have very different contents from, say, a code review skill.
Completely different. And the key design principle here is what they call progressive disclosure, which I think is an elegant concept. The skill surfaces information to the agent at the right level of detail for what it actually needs to do. It doesn't dump everything on the agent at once.
That's interesting because context management is a huge practical problem with these systems. If you're loading 100 pages of domain-specific instructions every time, that's expensive and it's noisy. Progressive disclosure is a way of saying, here's what you need now, and we'll surface more if you need to go deeper.
Exactly. And because it's an open standard, the idea is that third parties can build skills that agents can consume. So you're not dependent on Anthropic to define what capabilities Claude has. The ecosystem can grow independently.
That's a really significant move, if it gets traction. Like, you could imagine specialized skills being built by law firms, by medical institutions, by financial regulators, domain expertise encoded in a format that agents can use.
And it connects back to dispatch, right? When Claude is sitting on your desktop running a task, it might pull in a specific skill for that task. The architecture is designed to support that kind of dynamic capability loading rather than having a monolithic model that tries to do everything.
I want to ask about the open standard part, though. When Anthropic says it's an open standard, what does that mean in practice? Is it just a file format spec that anyone can implement? Or is there a registry, a discovery mechanism?
The documentation is more about the format and the design principles than about a specific registry. But the openness is at the structural level. The spec for what a skill looks like is public, so anyone can build one that's compatible. Discovery is presumably more organic at this point, or handled at the platform level.
Got it. So it's early days, but the foundation is there. And I think the philosophical bet they're making is that breadth of general knowledge is less valuable than depth when you're doing a real task. A skill that really knows credit underwriting is going to outperform a generalist model on a credit underwriting task.
Right. Specialization wins at task time. That's the thesis.
It makes sense. Though I'll be curious to see how skills interact with each other for multi-domain tasks. Like, what happens when a task needs legal knowledge and financial knowledge simultaneously?
That's a really good question, and I don't think we have a definitive answer yet. Presumably, you can load multiple skills, but how they interact, whether there are conflicts, that's going to be an interesting area to watch.
Yeah, build it and find out, basically.
The classic approach. All right, let's talk governance, because there's a pretty significant board-level announcement that came out earlier this week. So on April 14th, Anthropic's long-term benefit trust appointed Vas Narasimhan to the company's board of directors. Narasimhan is the chief executive officer of Novartis, the pharmaceutical giant, and he's also a physician scientist by training.
That's an interesting pick. You don't typically see pharma CEOs on AI company boards.
Right, and I think that's exactly the point. His appointment brings trust-appointed directors to a majority on the board. So the people who are appointed by this long-term benefit trust structure that Anthropic has, they now have majority control.
Can you remind listeners what the long-term benefit trust actually is? Because I think the structure is worth understanding.
Sure. Anthropic set up this trust as a governance mechanism to ensure the company remains oriented toward its stated mission, which is the responsible development of AI for the long-term benefit of humanity, even as it brings in major investment and grows commercially. The trust has the ability to appoint board members, and the idea is that this creates a structural check on the company's direction. Having trust-appointed directors in the majority is a meaningful signal that that governance layer has real teeth.
So it's not just a mission statement on the website. There are actual board seats tied to it.
Right. It's a structural commitment, not a cultural one. And Narasimhan specifically, I think the choice of him is revealing. Novartis operates in a heavily regulated industry where the safety implications of getting things wrong are immediate and catastrophic. He's navigated drug approval processes, clinical trial ethics, the interaction between commercial pressures and patient outcomes.
That's a very specific type of expertise. Like, how do you build something powerful and also safe and also profitable? That's literally his day job.
Exactly. And he's a physician, so he's also thinking about this from the perspective of someone who actually deployed tools with high-stakes consequences for real people. That's a different lens than a lot of tech board members bring.
It also signals something about where Anthropic sees Claude going in terms of high-stakes domains, healthcare, biomedical research. If you're putting a pharma CEO on your board, you're probably thinking pretty hard about those applications.
That's a fair read. And honestly, given what we're seeing with agents doing autonomous work, the question of who's responsible when something goes wrong, how you build appropriate oversight into these systems, that's very much a governance question as much as a technical one.
Right. The board composition shapes the culture, which shapes the product decisions. It all connects.
It really does. Okay, let's get into the weeds a little on Claude Code, because there's been a substantial batch of updates there. So the week 13 release notes, this is covering late March 2026, so just a few weeks ago, and the centerpiece update is something called auto permission mode. And I think this is one of those features that sounds subtle, but is actually a really meaningful shift in how the tool works.
Tell me more, because permission mode sounds like a settings menu checkbox.
Yeah, I know. But here's what it's doing. Claude Code is classifying prompts as they come in and making a judgment about whether a given action is safe to run automatically versus whether it needs to stop and ask. So, safe edits, routine stuff, predictable changes, run without interruption. But if something looks suspicious or potentially destructive, it blocks and waits.
So it's building a risk assessment layer into the execution loop. That's actually pretty sophisticated. It's not just ask permission for everything or assume everything is fine. It's trying to be actually calibrated.
Right. And the goal is low interruption autonomous development. The complaint about earlier agentic coding tools was that they would constantly stop and ask for permission for things that were obviously fine, which kind of defeats the purpose of autonomous coding.
Yeah, if I have to approve every file save, that's just extra work for me. The interruptions need to be meaningful.
Exactly. And they've also added desktop control capabilities in this release, so Claude Code can now open native applications and interact with them as part of a coding workflow. That's interesting because it starts to blur the line between code-focused work and the broader computer use stuff we were talking about with Dispatch.
So you could have a workflow where Claude Code is writing some code, needs to check something in a database, GUI tool, opens it up, pulls the information, incorporates it back, without you having to do any of that manually.
Yeah, the environment as they're starting to talk to each other rather than being isolated silos, which is a big deal for practical usability.
Let's talk about some of the other Claude Code additions. The routines feature, that one caught my eye.
Yeah, routines is fascinating. The idea is that you can package an entire workflow, a prompt, one or more code repositories, connectors, into a saved configuration that runs automatically. And the triggers can be scheduled, like a cron job, or they can be API endpoints, or they can be triggered by events in a GitHub repository.
So this is Claude Code running on Anthropic's cloud infrastructure, doing stuff without you even initiating it.
Fully autonomous. You set it up once, define the trigger, and it runs. So you could have a routine that runs every Monday morning, checks your main repository for anything that's been merged over the weekend, runs an analysis, and sends you a summary.
Or triggers on every pull request, and does a first-pass review before the human reviewers even look at it.
Which is actually exactly what the code review feature does, and that's also in the docs. Claude Code now has a managed code review service that integrates directly with GitHub pull requests. It deploys what they're calling a fleet of specialized agents that analyze the code changes and post inline comments on specific lines, tagged by severity level.
Fleet of specialized agents is a phrase that would have sounded like science fiction a couple years ago.
Ha, right? And the severity tagging is important. Not all issues are equal. Knowing that this comment is "this will crash" versus "this is a style nitpick" is genuinely useful. And the comments don't block merges, which is a deliberate choice. It's advisory, not a gate.
That's probably the right call for adoption. If you make it block merges, developers will start gaming the system or getting frustrated. If it's advisory, you build trust over time.
And they've also got the JetBrains integration, which is worth flagging. JetBrains IDEs include IntelliJ IDEA, PyCharm, Android Studio, WebStorm, a really significant chunk of the professional developer world. Claude Code now has a dedicated plugin for all of those.
So you don't have to be in a terminal or in a web interface anymore. It's right there in the IDE you're already using.
Quick launch via keyboard shortcuts, direct diff viewing, all of it integrated. And they've got macOS and Windows support on the desktop app, though notably no Linux support yet, which is interesting given how many developers work on Linux.
Yeah, that'll probably come eventually, but I'm sure some developers are frustrated by that right now.
Fair. Let's also touch on the cost tracking documentation, because this is actually really practically important for anyone building with the Claude Agent Software Development Kit.
Oh, definitely. This is like when you're building an agentic app, one of the things that terrifies you is running up a huge bill without realizing it, because the agent is doing a ton of steps you didn't anticipate.
And the SDK now provides detailed token usage information and cost tracking at multiple levels of granularity, per step, per session, across sessions. Both the TypeScript and Python versions of the SDK expose this data, just with slightly different naming conventions for the fields.
The naming convention difference between languages is the kind of thing that bites you when you're trying to write a monitoring dashboard that handles both, but at least the data is there.
Exactly. And for production deployments especially, if you're running routines that execute automatically, having cost telemetry is essential. You need to know if something went sideways and the agent ran 10 times longer than expected.
Yeah, cost is a proxy for, is this behaving normally? If the cost is suddenly 5 times higher than usual, something weird is happening.
Right. And then there's the system prompt customization docs, which cover 4 different approaches. Persistent project-level instructions through these CLAW.md files, output-style templates, and some other methods. The CLAW.md files are particularly interesting because they're version-controlled, which means they travel with the repository and the whole team gets the same baseline behavior from Claude.
That's a really practical solution to the everyone configures their AI tool differently problem that's going to become a real team coordination issue as these tools get more capable.
Yeah, shared configuration as code. Sensible. Okay, I want to spend some time on the enterprise use cases because I think they paint a vivid picture of where this stuff is actually landing in the real world. So Anthropic has been highlighting specific professional workflows where Claude for Excel is being deployed, and the two big ones are commercial credit analysis and insurance reserve validation. Let's start with the credit memo one because it's really detailed.
Yeah, this is a classic example of a workflow that is extremely document-heavy and rule-bound. Credit underwriting involves a lot of pulling data, checking it against policy thresholds, reconciling numbers across different sources. Exactly the kind of thing that's tedious for humans, but tractable for a well-configured AI.
And the workflow they describe is a 3-stage pipeline. Stage 1. Exception review in the co-work environment, where Claude is pulling borrower filings and financial spreads through the S&P Capital IQ connector, analyzing underwriting workbooks, identifying where financial ratios trip policy thresholds.
S&P Capital IQ is a major financial data service, so Claude has a connector that taps directly into that data rather than requiring someone to manually export spreadsheets.
Right. Stage 2 moves into Excel, where Claude is actually updating the spread models. And stage three is generating the credit memo itself, the document that goes to the credit committee.
So the analyst isn't doing the lookup work, isn't doing the ratio flagging, isn't doing the first draft of the memo. They're reviewing, they're making judgment calls on the exceptions that got flagged, and they're approving the output.
Which is the right allocation of human time. The checking does this number exceed this threshold work is not where a credit analyst adds value. The judgment about what to do about it is.
And the highlighting of mismatches between model assumptions and actual financial statements, that's the kind of thing that's really easy to miss when you're going through a thick credit package under time pressure. An agent that flags every mismatch systematically is genuinely valuable.
100%. The insurance reserve validation workflow is similar in spirit but different in domain. Insurance actuaries have to validate reserve workbooks. These are the models that estimate future liabilities and check them for formula errors, development factor anomalies, and then produce state filing narratives.
State filings in insurance are heavily regulated. The narrative has to be precise. It has to address specific regulatory questions. It can't be vague. That's not trivial writing.
And Claude is doing the anomaly detection in the reserve data, integrating that with prior period workbooks for comparison, and then drafting the filing narrative. The actuary reviews, edits, approves.
Again, same pattern. AI does the systematic check work and the first draft. Human does the professional judgment and the sign-off.
And I think that's the model that's actually going to work in regulated industries. Not replace the professional, but amplify the professional's capacity so they can handle more work with higher confidence.
The insurance and finance industries are fascinating early adopters because the downside of errors is very concrete. Regulatory fines, reserve miscalculations, credit losses. So if this is where Anthropic is winning real deployments, that says a lot about confidence in the accuracy of the output.
It really does. And it's a more interesting proof point than like a startup used Claude to write marketing copy. These are high-stakes professional contexts where the standard of correctness actually matters.
Totally. And it connects back to agent skills, too. You can imagine highly specialized skills being developed for credit underwriting, for actuarial work, that encode the domain knowledge in a way that makes the agents more reliable for those specific tasks.
Yeah. The modular architecture enables the specialization that makes the use cases actually work. It's not a coincidence that these two things are happening at the same time.
So kind of tying it all together, we've got agent skills providing the modular capability layer, Claude Code giving developers tools to build and run these agents autonomously, dispatch enabling remote execution from mobile, and then these concrete enterprise workflows showing where the rubber meets the road.
That's a good synthesis. And the board governance piece with Narasimhan fits into that too. As Claude takes on more consequential real-world work, you want the oversight structures at the company level to be robust.
Right. The stakes go up. The governance has to match.
Let's make sure we've got all the Claude Code infrastructure stuff covered before we wrap up. The desktop app, this is relatively recent and worth flagging for people who've only ever used Claude Code through the terminal. The Claude Code desktop application gives you a proper graphical interface with three tabs. Chat is for general conversation. Cowork is for autonomous background work. That's the dispatch integration. That's long-running tasks. And Code is the interactive coding environment with local file access.
So it's organizing the different modes of working with Claude into a coherent interface, rather than having everything be one big chat window.
Right. And the Code tab specifically has a sidebar for managing multiple parallel sessions. So you can have Claude working on different parts of a codebase simultaneously.
That's a significant productivity multiplier. Like, you kick off a refactoring task, while that's running, you start a separate session to write tests for a different module, and you're monitoring both.
And that's on both macOS and Windows. The Windows version has ARM64 support, which is good timing given the growth of ARM-based Windows machines.
Yeah, Qualcomm-based Windows laptops are a real thing now. Nice to see support for those baked in.
The system prompt customization piece. I want to come back to that for a second, because the Claude.md file approach is something I think a lot of developers are going to find really useful. The idea is you put a Claude.md file in your project repository, and that file defines baseline behavior, capabilities, response style, and because it's in the repo, it's version controlled.
So when you onboard a new developer, they clone the repo and immediately have the same Claude setup as everyone else. No, how did you get it to do that conversations?
Exactly. It's the team's shared contract with the AI, and you can layer additional customization on top of that through output style templates and other methods. So there's a hierarchy. Project level defaults, then more specific overrides.
The four distinct methods they've documented, that's a sophisticated configuration model. It suggests they've thought carefully about the different granularities at which teams need to customize behavior.
Yeah, this isn't here's a system prompt field, good luck. It's a structured approach to configuration management for AI-assisted development.
Which is appropriate given that these agents are now making consequential changes to production code. You want the behavior to be predictable and controllable.
Right, all right. I think we've done a pretty thorough sweep today. Let me see if there's anything we haven't hit.
The cost tracking in the SDK, I think that's covered. The routines and code review features, covered. Agent skills, covered. Dispatch in all its facets, covered. Board governance, covered. I think we're good.
Yeah, and I think the theme of today is really clear when you look at all of it together. Anthropic is building for a world where you're not the one doing the work. You're the one directing the work. Dispatch means you direct from your phone. Agent skills means the agents get the specialized knowledge they need. Routines means the work happens on a schedule without you initiating it. Code review means code gets reviewed before you even look at it. And the enterprise workflows mean real high-stakes professional tasks are getting done.
It's a coherent vision. And the governance stuff, Narasimhan on the board, the long-term benefit trust, having majority control. That's Anthropic saying, we know this is consequential. We're building in the oversight to match.
Well said. And for developers specifically, if you haven't looked at Claude Code recently, the last few months of updates have been substantial. The auto permission mode, the desktop control, the JetBrains integration, the routines. It's a materially different tool than it was even at the start of the year.
Yeah, the pace of development there is striking. And it's clearly where a lot of Anthropic's engineering energy is going.
For sure. All right, I think that's going to do it for today's episode of Claude Daily. Sam, anything you want to leave people with?
Just that the dispatch thing. I really encourage people to try it if they have access. The idea of sending a task to your computer from your phone and having it actually done when you get back sounds almost too good to be true. But based on what's been described, it seems like they've thought through the design pretty carefully. The approval layer, the default off for full computer use, those are the right instincts.
Completely agree. If you want to dig into any of these topics deeper, the Agent Skills Open Standard, the Claude Code Release Notes, the Dispatch Documentation, all of it lives on Anthropic's official sites and engineering blog. We'll be back tomorrow with more. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sam.
Thanks for listening to Claude Daily. Have a great Thursday.